Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is one that is very well known, I'm sure. Luke 10, verses 29 to 37. An expert of the law of Moses stood up and asked Jesus a question to see what he would say. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus answered, "What is written in the scriptures? How do you understand them?" The man replied, "The scriptures say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. They also say, love your neighbours as you love yourself." Jesus said, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But the man wanted to show that he knew what he's talking about. So he asked Jesus, "Who are my neighbours?" Jesus replied, "As a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, robbers attacked him and grabbed everything he had. They beat him up and ran off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. Later, a temple helper came to the same place. When he saw the man to be beaten up, he also went by on the other side. A man from Samaria then came travelling along that road. When he saw the man, he felt sorry for him and went over to him. He treated his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next morning, he gave the innkeeper 2 silver coins and said, 'Please take care of the man. If you spend more than this on him, I will pay you when I return.' Then Jesus said, 'Which one of these 3 people was a real neighbour to the man who was beaten up by the robbers?' The teacher answered, 'The one who showed him pity.' Jesus said, 'Go and do the same.'" This is our text. There was a man who lived on the 10th floor of an apartment building. Every morning, he went into the lift, went down to the basement, got in his car, and went to work. Every night, he came home, drove into the garage, hopped into the elevator, got out the 6th floor, and walked the last 4 floors to his apartment. Why?
He was too short.
Yeah, very, very clever. Very, very clever. Yes, he was too short. He was a dwarf. So he could reach the ground floor button, but he couldn't reach the 10th. He could only reach as high as the 6th. Minimal information problems. They were very popular back in the 70s when I was going to SEM. You got one bit of information and you had to ask questions to work out how it all operated. Another famous one of mine was that I remember was Antony and Cleopatra are in a room. Antony is lying on the floor dead and Cleopatra is asleep on the bed. On the floor is blood, a puddle of water and broken glass. What happened? This one, by the way, took us about 2 hours to get. The answer is that Antony is a goldfish and Cleopatra is a cat. Changes everything, doesn't it? No, it makes perfect sense when you have that little bit of information. It's the way that our brains work. We need and we use labels for logic and for speed in processing things. The reason that a lot of people struggle with the man in the lift is because they think of a normal, average type man. They don't think of someone who's a bit different because that's what they think of when they think of a person. And as I said with Antony and Cleopatra, he gets tricked by the names. And that's what you think of. You don't see the other possibilities. Those labels that we use are important for logic and speed in processing things, but they do have other implications as well. Because when we work with labels, we can lock ourselves into a way of thinking, into a mindset that then channels the way that we see things and even see people. We can do it with people as well, don't we? We have labels. Put them into categories to better understand them. A terrorist, a Labour voter or a Liberal voter, an Aboriginal, a Muslim, a disabled person, a woke, conservative. The trouble is, as soon as we label people, then we prejudge them. It can actually stop us from appreciating the individual because we don't need to know what they're like because we know already, because we have given them their label We've categorized them. We understand them. And that's what is in the parable as well. This is where it speaks directly to our Christian life. Who is your neighbor? Jesus tells us to show love to everyone. And us showing love, or the way we treat people, is another way of putting it, comes from our attitude. It comes from the way that we see people. In the parable, it was the enemy, the Samaritan, the hated one, who acts as a neighbor. This is the last person that the lawyer would have expected Jesus to say was the person who showed compassion. In fact, let's face it, for the lawyer and for the people listening, this parable was crazy, absolutely crazy. It went against everything that the lawyer believed and had been taught. And perhaps because so many people know this story and look at it through Western eyes, we can discount just how crazy that story was to the people of Jesus' day. So to get an idea of just how crazy this was for the people who heard it, I've translated it into a modern day parable. We are going forward a year. It is September 2024, and it's the ultimate grand final in the AFL for South Australia between Port and the Crows. The Adelaide coach, Matthew Nix, decides to play Rory Laird on Connor Rosie because Connor Rosie has had a standout season and has won the McGarry Medal, the Brownlow Medal. The game starts. In the first 2 minutes, Port players take out Isaac Rankin and Darcy Fogarty. But what else would you expect from Port players? 5 minutes later, Brody Smith, Wayne Miller and Jordan Dawson clash heavily. Dawson breaks his leg, Brody Smith punctures his lung, and Wayne Miller dislocates his shoulder. They can take no further part in the game. The Crows are now down to just 18 players. Then in the second quarter, Laird, who has been put on Connor Rosie to try and stop him in the game, strains a hamstring. Unfortunately, though, Laird can't go off the ground because there's no one to replace him. For some reason, known only to Matthew Nix, he keeps Laird on Connor Rosie for the rest of the game. Connor Rosie gets 47 possessions, kicks 6 goals, and is the best man on the ground. But despite being short, the Crows play brilliantly, and with 20 seconds left to play, they are only 3 points down. The ball is kicked into the Adelaide forward line towards the forward pocket, and Connor Rosie appears out of nowhere to snatch a brilliant match-saving mark. As he goes back to take his kick, he looks at Rory Laird, who is standing the mark, looking dejected. Laird has been trundling after Rosie all day. As Connor Rosie looks at Rory Laird, he has compassion on him. And he handballs the ball to Rory Laird, who kicks the winning goal, and the Crows win. Stupid, isn't it? No, it never happened. It goes against all the ideas of football, all the ideas of any competitive game. But that's how crazy that parable of Jesus would have sounded to the people of the day. Jesus isn't interested in the game. What Rosie did goes against all concepts of a competitive game, but Jesus is not interested in the game. He's interested and concerned about people. All people. Any people. And he was concerned about them as individuals. When Jesus saw people, he obviously saw them as Samaritans or Jews or prostitute or a thief, because that's part of who they were. But he also saw them as children of God, whom his Father had created, whom his Father was searching for and reaching out for, someone whom he was going to sacrifice his life for. Jesus related with and to people. He understood them. He understood what made them and how the things that they had influenced them as people. And God calls us to have concern and feeling for all people. But we have to be honest, sometimes that can be pretty hard, if not impossible. It's far easier to show love to someone who is attractive and charming than to an obnoxious drunk, to someone who is appreciative rather than to someone who doesn't even say thank you to you, to someone who agrees with you rather than someone who always disagrees with everything that you say, to someone who is positive rather than to someone who is always negative and complaining, to one of us rather than to one of them, whoever us and them may be. So how do we do it? How do we show love and concern to all people? Well, I think it comes down to being able to see people through different eyes. I mean, you could just clench your teeth and do it because that's what God calls you to do and you better do it. But that's just duty. That's not love. It's not a real concern for people. There's a story which is sort of a universal story. I think you hear it in lots of different places. It's set in one of the world wars, probably World War I. And in this case, it will involve a German. No, it's not just yet. Don't need that. It's all right. Doesn't matter, though. So it's set in the World War, and in this case, it's going to be an Australian soldier and a German soldier. An Australian soldier jumps into a hole, and as he gets in there, he sees a German soldier lying on the ground. He pulls out his gun and is about to shoot his enemy when the German soldier holds up his hand and pulls out of his pocket a photo and shows the Australian soldier the photo. The photo is a photo of the German soldier with his wife and two young children. Suddenly, the Australian soldier sees his enemy in a different light. No longer does he see him as an enemy, he now sees him as a father and a husband, as he is. He sees him through different eyes. And that's what God calls us to do. Not to see people as labels, but as people. To understand them. To try and see what makes them up about who they are. There's one final thing I'd like to leave you with. Even that idea of seeing people through different eyes is fine. But what's the Christian motivation for us? When anyone can do that, why and how do we do it as Christians? Sure, we have a command from Jesus to treat our neighbours with love, but our Christian response never begins with a command. Now we can have that. This is a quote from a German theologian called Helmut Thielicker. Is it really true that everything begins with the command, "Thou shalt"? Or must it not rather begin with our first being given something? The gospel says to us, you cannot give anything whatsoever to your neighbour except that which you have already received. No person can give more than he has. First something is given to you. And the real secret of life is to remember this first thing which we have received and to learn the art of keeping in contact with our neighbour at the critical moments and passing on to him or her what we have received. And what have we received? We have received God's love shown in the suffering and death of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's this love that Christ tells us to pass on to others. And Christ asks us to pass that love on not only to people that we like, not only to religious people like us, but to every person. In fact, to our enemies, to those people who get up our nose, even to those people who attack us. And why? Because in God's eyes, everyone, no matter who they are, or where they are, or what they do, everyone has the same value that you and I do. And that value is the greatest. That value is demonstrated in the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, for us on the cross. God calls us to see all people around us through his eyes and then treat each person with whom we come into contact as God treats them in the same way and with the same love that God treats us. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts in our minds, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.